All right. So I will be talking about strategies for increasing adolescent immunization rates in primary care, what physicians would use and would consider. This is the results of a survey. I want to acknowledge the team that worked on this survey, many of them at University of Rochester, the Academic Pediatric Association, and our collaborators at CDC, NCIRD, Robin Curtis, and Shen Stokely. I want to say, you'll see that two of us are from originally from Rochester, and you may wonder why so much emphasis on adolescent immunization in Rochester, New York. And it all comes down to this quote, "Snow and adolescents are the only problems that disappear if you ignore them long enough." But if you live in Rochester, you realize that sometimes you have to wait a really, really long time for them to disappear. All right, the background on this study. Most adolescents attend a primary care practice. Sometimes they don't attend it when we want them to attend it, you know, preventively. Sometimes they only show up every 3 years. But one way or another, most adolescents in the United States are registered for a primary care practice. U.S. adolescent immunization rates are lower than desired. We saw that earlier in Dr. Schuchat's talk. CDC recommends certain strategies to boost rates, but what we wanted to do was to take a look at what primary care providers thought about those strategies, which they would use and which they were using. So the overall objective of this study, which goes beyond the survey that I'm going to talk about, is to identify sustainable, generalizable, effective strategies that can be implemented widely to increase vaccination coverage among adolescents affiliated with a medical home. This survey then, again, just focuses on one piece, which strategies are currently used or would be used by clinicians. So our methods. The survey was sent out in the spring of 2010, so not that very long ago. And it went out to clinicians in two networks. The first one is the Greater Rochester Primary, the Greater Rochester Practice-Based Research Network. That is based in upstate New York. I don't know how many of you have ever had the pleasure of, we joke about the snow in Rochester, but it really is a beautiful community in the 3 months that aren't the winter. And this part of the network is both pediatricians and family medicine clinicians. So that's a little bit different than the other network involved in this study, which is CORNET. CORNET is the Academic Pediatric Association's national group of pediatric residency training continuity clinics. So those clinics tend to be in urban settings. So we combined the two networks for this survey so that we would have a balance, more of a balance between urban and suburban practices. All right. The tool that we used to question them, the questions were on the current use of interventions and preferences for strategies offices would use. It was either mailed or online based on their preferences. So it's if for offices that weren't using computers, they could just fill it out on paper and send it in. We were very persistent, or I should say Phyllis Vincelli was very persistent, and 5 rounds of the survey or reminders about the survey went out. So we weren't going to let them off the hook easily. And we sent them in exchange, not in exchange for the time, but just a mere honorarium for their time, a $5 gift card. So there was a very small incentive for this. The results then. 148 of 195 practices responded for a response rate of 76%. Remarkably high, as I'm hearing. This is in part because they are part of a network where they were recognized in advance that that they're part of a network because they want to be part of research. The results from the two networks were similar, and so the results that you're seeing today are combined from the two. We're not going to separate them out here. The demographics of the two of the respondents, 43% served urban practices, 36% from suburban, and 21% from rural. All right. So on the first page, and if anybody is interested in having a copy of this tool, I'm happy to give it to you. Just give me your business card, and I'll send it out to you. But it was about four pages, so I didn't reproduce it here. The first page went through nine different strategies that are commonly recommended for increasing immunization rates with definitions of those strategies attached. So, for example, prompts for by EMR, we specified that we meant prompts at a clinic visit, a point of service prompt. So the first page had the nine strategies recommended, and then the second page we asked, which one of these would be your first choice? And so this, what you're seeing here are the most frequently named first choices of what they currently used and felt were effective. So I want to highlight the number one most commonly named first choice is prompts at the visit by office staff. When you think about it, it kind of makes sense that that would be a commonly used, because it doesn't take a lot of extra funding. And in fact, it sort of takes the onus off of the memory of the physician and puts it on nurses. We know from previous studies that nurses tend to know the immunization schedule in more detail than physicians do. The next one down, you'll see patient reminder and recall. What we meant by that was sending out some kind of message to patients' families about you need this vaccine, either that it's coming up or that it's already due. So that was 21%. Others that were in this grouping, prompt by EMR, the top line, 11%. And then for this category, it was a small choice, a list of patients in need of vaccines. By this, we meant getting a list from an insurance company, for example, of patients in your practice who need vaccines. Very few offices were doing that and felt that it was effective. So the next column over, you see, this is not currently used but would consider. And the largest one here is 36% prompt via electronic medical record. Again, it kind of makes sense for offices, as the immunization schedule, even for adolescents, gets more complicated, and more offices start to use electronic medical records, it only makes sense that being prompted by the electronic medical record would be a top category. Patient reminder recall was 27%, so still high. This one, the list of patients in need of vaccines, 9%, it was surprising to us because after you get that list, you still have to do something with it. So we were surprised that it made it as a first choice in either list. Okay, and then this next slide is the same thing as you saw previously, but I lumped the two prompts, prompt via EMR and prompt via office together, and you see that prompts are very big in the minds of clinicians. Other strategies that were suggested, remember I told you that we gave them a list of strategies to choose from, as well as just a category called other. So we included strategies such as education for either patients or the clinicians themselves, vaccine clinics, you know, opening your office on Saturday afternoon and just inviting all the adolescents to come in, vaccine-only visits, inviting adolescents to come in just for vaccines, not for other aspects of well care, audit and feedback, going through and seeing what your adolescents, what rate your adolescents had, and letting you know that, or standing orders, making it so basically a bypass of the physician or nurse practitioner, and having the nurse give the vaccines directly. So in conclusion, a fairly large proportion of clinicians would consider strategies to increase adolescent immunization rates. That in and of itself we felt was important. Like, large numbers said that they were doing something or were interested in something. One thought had been that it might be that when we sent this survey out, clinicians would say, not interested. The most commonly used and desired strategies to increase adolescent immunization rates in the medical home were provider prompts, both EMR and staff, and reminder recall. So the next steps in this study, I have heard that there won't be a national immunization conference to go to next year, but keep this space open for the results of our next step, which is to take these strategies and do a quality improvement project in offices that agree to use them. So practices will participate in a 12-month matched clinical trial. There will be three arms: electronic medical record prompts, staff prompts, and controls. And currently we're in the process of contacting EMR companies regarding their capability to install clinician prompts for adolescent immunization. We feel that, again, it's not as complicated as childhood immunization, that this really would be programmable. The outcomes from that study won't be simply vaccination rates, although that will be one piece of it, but also looking at missed opportunities, because we want the process to be efficient, preventive visits, because we want to increase the use of preventive visits, and clinical preventive services, so other services that adolescents should be getting while they come in for preventive care. These measures will help determine how effective the strategies are and if they should be implemented more broadly and studied further. So I want to thank not only the co-investigators, but all the offices that participated by filling out our long questionnaire. And thank you for your attention today. Thank you.